Alrighty, hello. My name is David House, and I'm talking with Zimbabwean Kenya, who is one of our local musicians here in Albuquerque and to the state of New Mexico. We're going to talk to him about just who he is and what he does and where he comes from. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, David. How
good. I'm just great, man. I'm doing really good.
Yeah, I'm really honored to be invited in on this. It's nice.
It's honored to have you. We're honored to have you, man. This is really wonderful. Let me ask you, I guess we'll start out at the beginning. So how did this all start for you, man? You're a bass player. You're a percussionist as well.
Play violin.
Mm-hmm.
Composer, band leader. You know, the band leading part was not by really by choice. It was either I lead the band and I get the gigs or I'm not playing. So that's how that started.
Okay.
You know, it's either I do it or it won't get done. So, but once I started doing it, I really love it. You know, now it's grown into something bigger than myself.
Okay.
You know, because, yeah, New Mexico has some really outstanding musicians.
Well, let's go back a little bit before New Mexico and before the band, before you had to, of necessity, become the band leader and stuff.
When I was just a little guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born on a Air Force Base.
Okay.
And I was born on Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas. And my father was a lifer in the Air Force, so I was like they call it Air Force brat style. So we lived in a lot of different places. We lived in Spain, you know, all different bases across the U.S., Germany, and I've had a lot of, you know, really good experiences with living my life, you know.
So you lived all over the world, pretty much Europe and the United States, and
it's true.
And you must have, I don't know if you got a chance to, but I would assume you got a chance to be exposed to some different cultures and different kinds of music.
Yeah. I remember when I lived in Spain. When we lived in Spain, I was from first grade to fifth grade. I remember my parents telling me to stay away from those gypsies because we lived in Madrid. It was a gypsy culture that would go through the city and stop all the traffic. They had sheep, and they would pitch tents, and a lot of people didn't like them, and there was rumors that they would steal little children away, you know. So the first thing I did was go to the gypsy camps.
And what would happen there, man?
I would play with the other kids that were my age, and then the older people liked the idea that I was African and coming to them. And they treated me, you know, with care, you know, and love, and they would feed me and, you know, we'd play games, different games, because at that time I was speaking a lot of Spanish, too. I don't speak that fluent anymore, because that was years ago. So I'm 52, and that was first grade to fifth grade. And that was my first real exposure to music, because they had music all the time, castanets. Mm-hmm. To this day, I remember that percussion sound. You know castanets?
Sure.
And the guitars, you know, and so from there, I started into this heavy art thing. I used to be drawing all the time, drawing and painting.
And that started when?
In Spain.
Okay.
It started in Spain. When we came back to the U.S., I continued. You know, I always had art classes.
So you were an artist first?
Yeah.
A fine artist, a painter first, or draw.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I got a scholarship to go to John Herron Art Institute in Indianapolis. I went to college. I can't even remember the year, but yeah, I went to art school, and I dropped out of art school to play music, you know, to continue playing music.
So how did that start? How did the music start? How did you make the transition from
playing music? Doing string classes. They had violin. You know, you could play violin, cello. And I think I was too small to play the double bass, so I ended up playing some violin and some cello. But in school, it turned into more like homework assignments. It didn't really click. Music was different in school than what I was hearing, like on the radio or hearing on the street. In school, it wasn't like that. It was more like homework. mm-hmm. know, strictly just mathematics and the, you know, the technique. And it wasn't music to me until years later when I lived in Indianapolis. These cats needed somebody to just play a simple bass line because they were trying to get to this sound like Miles Davis was doing on the Corner, where you play in a mode, you know, it's just instead of playing like a lot of chords, you know, in a given bar, you would just play like one sound, not one note, but just one scale for eight measures, you know, like a mode, you know, but more like On the Corner and more like 125th Street, that Weather Report, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted that. So I used to sit in with them because we were hanging out, you know, musicians and artists. And I found out that I could really hold down that bass line, but it was only because of my earlier training on cello and stuff.
So how did you end up doing, why did you decide on the bass or string instruments at that point? Like, you know, back in school before you ended up.
Because in my subconscious mind, I think it's the Arco, it's the bowing, the, you know, bowed bass and, you know, string. I started playing percussion too, percussion instruments as well. And one of my earliest pieces of music that was recorded, it was recorded here in New Mexico in 1980. And I have that music. I did a solo imbira piece. And I still have that music today. And I think they're going to play some of it. I want to share that with everyone. But I've been playing imbira for a long time. And it started really getting serious for me when I lived in New York and I played with this South African dance theater group called Izulu. And when I went to New York, if I had went as or landed on the scene as a new bass player in town, I would have never got as many gigs as I got when I joined Izulu, because 1983 to 1988, there was a large interest in South Africa and apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to gig like every weekend and even weekdays sometimes, you know, all during that period. It was, you know, quite an experience. So I played marimba, you know, bass, imbira, and, you know, with the dancers. And I also played some drumming. I played a Zulu drum at that time. It's a bass drum,
mm-hmm.
which fit right in with what I was doing.
That's beautiful. That's great. That sounds cool. So, what is it about? I guess you play so many different instruments, and I associate you mostly with the bass. Do you consider that your preferred instrument, or what do you consider yourself? When I mean, just multi instrumentalist.
Yeah, that's hard for me to say, David. You know, like just recently, last five years, I've noticed that. It's not the instrument that you play. It's the music that comes first. I guess that's when I started, like writing my own tunes or putting together my own music, because I'm hearing, like, it's not the bass. Anybody could play the bass. I mean, that's how I feel. Anybody could play the bass part. Anybody could play the horn part. You know, all the parts fit into one sound. It's the ensemble, the group sound, the whole. So I'm not really hearing just the bass.
It's just whatever's required of this song.
Yes.
So it makes sense. Okay.
Yes. So recently, the imbira has really been helping me a lot in getting what I'm feeling inside, what I'm hearing in my head and what I'm feeling compositionally. Not just bass parts, not just percussion, but the whole. So with the imbira, you know, you can see, you're not only Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I'm, you know, that song Kalimba,
mm-hmm.
but one of the first cuts was Stanley Cowell. You hip to Stanley Cowell,
mm-hmm.
the pianist? He plays imbira, you know. And with the Heath Brothers, they had this song, Smiling Billy Sweet. And one of those hip hop artists sampled that, and it was a big hit. Because I remember hearing it on the radio, and I said, that's the Heath Brothers. But it was, you know, the bass line and the imbira that they were fronting, you know, and that was like one of my favorite jams. That was it when I first heard that, you know.
So that's one of your influences.
Yeah.
And that was going to be the next thing I was going to ask you. What music What made you decide on jazz as opposed to, you know, I don't know, classical or country music or something?
Yeah, it wasn't a conscious decision. It was like jazz chose me. I didn't choose jazz, you know. It chose me. I just ended up, younger, a lot of cats were listening to Coltrane, you know, Miles Davis. Miles Davis is from Alton. That's where my father was born. And my mother still lives there to this day, Alton, Illinois. Mm-hmm. That's where Miles Davis was born. And that's, I hold that, you know, Miles Davis, you know, he was a big influence on me too. But when you say jazz today, you know, jazz is really a big word. You know, a lot of times people say jazz and I don't even know what they're talking about, but I'm trying to get away from that, you know, like labels and stuff, because it's music. Even though I'm proud to be associated with jazz, because the music is so heavy and deep. And during the times when jazz was being developed, and when it was coming in the scene, there was a lot of I don't know how to put, you know, like lynching. There was a lot of hurtful, you know, I mean, in America. And I, you know, jazz today is a healing music. I mean, it's really helped the American experience, but I don't think we're really getting to a point where we're coming together. You know, I mean, jazz and creative music especially is so powerful that it's a healing force. It can really change the world if you would let it. You know, I get passionate about talking about music. And when you say jazz, it doesn't like cut it, you know, but it puts it in a certain bag. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to break out. but at the same time, though, I'm proud to be associated with jazz, you know. But jazz of today, you know, I mean, it's a lot, you know, like here at KUNM, I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, each day, it depends on the DJ, what he wants to present as jazz, and it's all different. And it's really a big thing. That's why you can say jazz, you can call it jazz, because it's based on improvisation.
So what would you prefer to call it? What would you prefer to call what you do?
I haven't thought of a name yet. It's the good stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like Duke Ellington was saying, it's two kind of music, right? It's good music and it's bad music. What I'm doing, I'm playing the good stuff. You know?
I hear you.
But it's like, but see, even that statement, you know, because there's music, some music that I've heard, okay, you know, they come out and they just start crying as music. As a presentation of music. Now, you can't say that's either good or bad. You know, I mean, they're crying. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. It's stunning. But they're wailing and crying. That's the song. That's deep, man. It's like, so I can't say, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say it's, but I can't say it's bad either. So even that statement is, but I play the good stuff.
Still. You know what? There's something you said a minute ago that I wanted to kind of backtrack on a second. And you said something that you said that jazz, that music heals. And it made me wonder what it heals for you. Does it heal something for you?
Yeah, I think it heals like some painful experiences that I've had in my life. You know, playing music can heal. And I like to think sometimes that I reach people when I'm playing and performing, not as an entertainer, but as an artist. And I know for sure that music can reach people and heal people, and not just heal. Well, yeah, sickness, but I'm talking about like a world of justice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a world of good. Do good for people. You know, help people. People today, the world is just it's getting so. Like violence, and people are, you know, pointing their fingers, and people are killing each other, and people are hating each other so deeply, you know. And music, I've seen music change people's perspective. I've seen music change people's minds. And I want to continue on that vein, not to entertain people, but I mean to heal, and to help people, man. You know, it's like music is deeper than like a, you know, like play a little song, play a little ditty or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I found that I can help, you know, people, and I try to.
So do you
more positive, you know?
Is there a specific like event or story you have in mind when you think about, you said you've seen it heal people?
No, not really. But I can say that, like when we were talking about jazz, I can say that, like Hendrix, like was a big influence on me, and nobody ever said he was jazz, but I mean, the way he was playing, you know, he was categorized as rock, you know, like sometimes I can hear rock, you know, and then people were saying Miles Davis was playing rock. I didn't really hear it as rock. It's like just a powerful music, you know, like Hendrix. It was powerful, you know, you couldn't really categorize it. So that's why I'm trying to reach that, mm-hmm. that level, you know, because Hendrix, he healed people too, you know, like, I don't know if I could, like sometimes in the projects, you know, and things, certain music can save people's lives by making them be aware, by making them think and making them more alive. I guess that way I've seen it, but I can't think of a dramatic story to tell, but I've seen it, you know, like.
It gives people hope sometimes, right?
Hope is a good word to use. Yes. Music does that, you know, and not all of it, but I've seen music heal. It can help people and heal people, you know, and certain music like hip hop. I remember, when I lived in New York, Mayor Koch, I think his name was, they were trying to ban it and it was healing. I mean, they were saying, be aware of hip hop concerts. There's going to be violence, you know, in advance. They would tell it. They would have like 10,000 police come, you know, for a hip hop concert. And they were trying to ban it where hip hop artists might have to pay extra, you know, to perform, or they might not even get to perform at all. In the '80s, mm-hmm. when I lived in New York, I saw that. And at the same time that they were trying to ban it, I was seeing it heal little kids. I mean, help them and heal them, make them, like you were saying, hope. It was giving them hope, man. That's why I hate it when people put down hip hop.
So some of the music that you play now, I don't want to categorize it, but it incorporates elements of some jazz.
Yes.
There's some obvious African influences.
Yes. Yes.
There's hip hop.
Yes. That's true.
What else?
There's Hendrix.
There's Hendrix.
Yeah, and there's also, I'm really deeply moved by the avant-garde, what they call the avant-garde. People like Albert Eiler, the Art Ensemble of Chicago, you know, the AACM movement, also the Black Artist Group in St. Louis, you know, yeah. All of that is, I hate to even categorize it as jazz, you know, it's like, it's powerful music. Or great black music, you know, ancient to the future, you know,
right.
You know, that's, yeah, that's right. So when I did my stint in St. Louis with some of the members of the Black Artist Group, I ended up hooking up with Malik. See, that's another thing, man, that's so, you know, it pulls me into being more serious about music, because all the cats that I used to play with are dead now, you know, like I'm 52 and it's, yeah, a lot of cats are dead. You know, it's a hard life in St. Louis, the Midwest, you know, St. Louis, Kansas City, up Chicago, mm-hmm. Detroit. It's hard living, hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an album we recorded in 1982 with Malik. And that's my first recorded composition. I did a piece called Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
And I revamped it on my new CD that just came out this year. I did the same piece, but we revamped it. But you can hear the theme in it, you know, and that was a really, it was just a beautiful period of my life living in St. Louis and playing with those cats, you know,